Uninformed immigrants are at a huge disadvantage in court, in financial and legal matters, and also sometimes in life. Well, what can we do about it? I'll tell you what. We can train, teach, inspire, and empower immigrants to maximize their lives regardless of their immigration status. And that's exactly what we're going to do here. I am your immigration lawyer and host, Otis Landerholm, and this is the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. On this episode, we're going to see an episode of the Empowered Immigrant Live, which is a webcast that I do every Thursday on Facebook and on YouTube for the immigrant community. If you have any immigrant questions or immigration questions, feel free to join us on Thursday for the next one. And for now, enjoy the episode. Thank you for being here. All right. I'm recording this. It's 2 in the afternoon on the 18th of November. And so, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Our theme for today is, how can I petition my parents to come back to the U.S.? All right, I love my parents. I want my parents to be able to come back to the U.S. I'm a U.S. citizen. How can I petition for my parents to come back? Okay? And so thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is the Empowered Immigrant Live, all right? And here at the Empowered Immigrant Live, we train, we teach, we inspire, and we empower immigrants to make the most out of immigration laws and to make the most out of their lives, okay? And so the question today is, how can I petition my parents to come back to the United States? Thank you at the outset to everyone who asked their questions. Thank you for asking your questions. We've got 30 minutes to discuss this topic in English. Then we'll do this episode in Spanish, okay? Si habla español, que venga a las 2:30, lo hacemos en español, okay? So, perfect, all right? Before we get to your questions, we want to discuss the basics, okay? And some of this, just kind of disclaimer out there, some of this is not going to be just all happy, all right? Sometimes these cases can be like difficult, sad, frustrating, you know? And so we've got to address both sides of it, right? So let's get into the basics. First of all, U.S. citizen children, all right, basic number one, U.S. citizen children can petition their parents after they turn 21, okay? So it must be your biological parent, or in some instances, your quote-unquote legal parent. So sometimes that can include step-parents, that can include adoptive parents, but the laws are stricter, they're strict on how they define those other terms, all right? We can do more on that another day. But basically, yes, U.S. citizen children can petition their parents after they turn 21. Well, but wait a second. My kid is 10 years old, and he's a U.S. citizen. Can't he petition for me? No. All right? Wait until your kid turns 21, and then they can petition for you. Okay? Yeah, but that's so crazy long. Yeah, I understand that. It is. It's crazy long. All right? How do you expect to grow? I mean, you got to grow up. Either you grow up without your parents, or you grow up in the country in which you are not a citizen of, all right? So, or your parents are here in the U.S. undocumented, and there's combinations of all of that, right? And I've seen combinations of all of that in my office. I see it, you know, sometimes daily. So, all right, that's the first step, right? A U.S. citizen child can petition their parents after they turn 21. That petition typically is the easy part, all right? The petition typically says two things. One, I'm a U.S. citizen, and two, this person is my parent. That's all it says, all right? The petition is typically the easy part. The bigger question is, can my parents use that petition? And here's where we got to be on the same page, everybody. Here's where we got to be on the same page. We got to talk about inadmissibility. We got to talk about problems that often happen in these types of cases,
All right? For example, do your parents have unlawful presence? Do they have an unlawful presence bar? All right? Do they have what we call a permanent bar? Do they have other inadmissibility issues? Arrests, fraud, smuggling, quote unquote. Were they ever deported? Were they ever caught crossing the border and expeditedly removed? All right? Now, here's the good thing. If the answer is no to all of these questions, they've never had unlawful presence before, they just have entered with tourist visas, never overstayed them, they've never been deported, no arrests, everything's squeaky clean, then great, congratulations, you've got an easy case. Once you're 21, we can get your parents' green cards in, you know, depending on the country, approximately 3 years or so of legal bureaucracy. Step one, we file the petition. Step two, we do the consular processing with the sponsorship requirements and all that stuff. They go to their interview, get a stamp in their passport, and then they can re-enter the U.S. Great. Get a green card. Cool. All right, but frequently, right, frequently there are challenges. Often, if you're a U.S. citizen, it proves that your parents, your mom at least, right, was physically here in the U.S., and often there's unlawful presence in the past, okay? And so we got to review that, okay? After, the law says, right, after April 30th of 1997, every day that a person is unlawfully in the United States counts as quote-unquote unlawful presence. This was defined in IRA, the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act, if you want to know, that was signed under President Clinton. It was signed in 1996, and this provision of it went into effect in April of 1997. It created all these bars that we're about to describe. It's a horrible piece of law, okay? So here's the way it works. If a person has more than 365 days of unlawful presence and then leaves, they trigger a 10-year bar, okay? There's also a 3-year bar if you just had 180 days or more of unlawful presence. But most people, they've got more than a year of unlawful presence, they leave the U.S., they trigger a 10-year bar. 10 years of inadmissibility, okay? But it doesn't stop there, because then if a person unlawfully re-entered the U.S. after that, or even attempted to unlawfully re-enter the U.S. after that, now they have a quote-unquote permanent bar, okay? And then there's other bars also. If a person ever brought their kids or anybody else into the U.S., they'll be inadmissible for quote-unquote alien smuggling, even if it was their own child, even if it wasn't, they weren't like smuggling them in, they're like, you know, walking hand in hand, all right? They'll be inadmissible. And then also, you know, pretty common, if a person ever lied to immigration when they were entering the U.S., they might be inadmissible for fraud, arrests, deportations, things like that. All of these can cause serious problems for the case to bring your parents in, okay? So bottom line is, if you're a U.S. citizen and if you're over 21, you can petition for your parents. The challenging part often are these issues and whether or not your parents are admissible. And so, wait a second. What if my dad was here until last year and then left? What do I do? All right. Well, if he was here unlawfully, he triggered a 10-year bar when he left. And so, he'll be inadmissible for 9 more years if he left last year. Okay? And here's the way the law works. There are waivers available in certain instances, not through children. There's waivers available if you can show extreme hardship to a U.S. citizen or a green card holding spouse or parent, but not children. And so if your dad in this situation wants to come earlier than the 10 years, he'll need to have a spouse or a parent who has immigration status, citizenship or green card status, and who would suffer an extreme level of harm, and then they can waive the 10-year bar and get him in earlier. Otherwise, he's going to have to wait 10 years. Okay? So then, well, what if, let's do another scenario. What if In 2002, my mom had left for a short trip to visit her sister's funeral. All right? This is a horrible situation. I hate these situations. She left the U.S. to visit a family member's funeral and then came back to the U.S. and did it unlawfully. When they're in that situation, she triggered the 10-year bar when she left, and then she triggered the permanent bar when she re-entered the U.S. There's no waiver available. The only way to do that, all right, the only way to forgive the permanent bar is to wait outside the U.S. for 10 years, and then after that, request a waiver. All right, but horrible situations. So wait, what about this? What if my mom was deported when she was trying to re-enter? Like, she was detained and removed. Well, then she would need to waive that too. There's an I-212 waiver that can be waived in certain instances, not easy to do. Four, like, what if she brought along my older brother? What if my older brother has DACA now? All right, but he was born in another country and now he grew up in the U.S. Now he's got DACA, he's got his work permit. But my mom brought him in, maybe even as an infant. Well, then your mom's also going to be inadmissible for quote-unquote alien smuggling, and she's going to need a waiver for that too. Got it? This is the reality. And so, you know, what's the takeaway? The thing is, and we'll jump right into your questions, the thing is each case is different, all right? Each case is different, and each case needs to be analyzed carefully to see whether or not waivers are necessary, and in some cases, whether or not waivers are even possible, whether you even can waive it. Sometimes you can't, okay? And so that's it, you know, that's it. So now let's turn to your questions. So, and thank you, right? Thank you to everyone who asked your questions, really, thank you. And if you haven't asked a question, but if you have one, hey, send it over, all right? I'd be more than happy to take a look at it. My first question today comes from Sanal. Sanal, I'm hoping I'm saying your name right. Thank you for asking your question. Sanal, your question is, can a sponsor be anyone? Okay, great question. Sanal, thank you so much for asking that question. All right, during a green card process, all right, for everybody, during a green card process, the case, the law, requires that people have a sponsor. All right, the sponsor cannot be anyone. It has to be either a U.S. citizen or a green card holder. And they've got to provide taxes for the past 3 years. They've got to show proof of current annual income. All of that is for the quote-unquote public charge inadmissibility issue. All right, that's an inadmissibility issue that does come up, and we do have the sponsorship requirement. I do have several other videos. I'm not going to go into public charge law more right now. I've got several other videos on my YouTube channel regarding public charge. Like, please check those out if you want more help with that, or Sanal, if you have specific questions that you'd like my firm to take a look at, then I welcome you to do that. All right, give us a call. We'd love to help. All right, cool. All right, my next question comes from Karma. Karma, thank you for asking this question. Karma, your question is, I am currently in F1 status, and it's been almost 5 years since I came to the U.S., and given the circumstances, is it too late to seek asylum? Okay, and you ask, if it's reasonable to seek asylum, given my situation, it would be great if you could provide me guidance. Thank you. All right, Karma, great question. Thank you for asking for it. Thank you for asking it. So normally with asylum is a bit different than the type of case we're talking about filing for parents. Asylum's a bit different. Normally with asylum, you've got to submit your case within 1 year, all right? So Karma, you're asking the right question, like, is it too late to seek asylum? Well, normally you've got to file your case within 1 year. However, the great thing in your situation, Karma, is that you're still in valid immigration status. And the regulations, asylum regulations, can consider your application timely. In fact, they will consider it timely even within 6 months of your status expiring, okay? But if you're going to seek asylum, I do recommend doing it while you're still in valid F1 status. It can protect you in other ways. It's a good strategy to do that, okay? Because your F1 can always be as you, like your plan B, just in case the asylum case isn't approved, right? Asylum is not easy to win. So it's great to have a second option through your student visa. But I really recommend, Karma, I really recommend talk your case over thoroughly with a asylum lawyer, okay? With, like, a good asylum lawyer, okay? And in my opinion, you're right. It's not too late for you to apply for asylum. The best advice, though, is to just make sure that you're eligible. Make sure it's advisable. Make sure it's recommendable to apply for asylum. And if my office can assist you in that analysis, hey, we'd love to do it. Okay, we'd love to do it. So, Karma, thank you for that question. If you, if anybody is out there, you know, send me your questions. We'd love to receive them. I think I just have a couple more. Okay, maybe just one more even. Okay, and so please ask me your questions if you've got them. My next question comes from Paul. Paul, thank you. All right, your question is, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. Could I file a petition for my parents if I'm only a permanent resident, if I only have permanent legal residency? Okay, great question. Paul, thank you for asking that question. The answer is not quite yet. All right, not quite yet. Permanent residence, you know, even if you turn 21, you can't file for your parents. All right, you have to first wait 5 years, or there's a couple of exceptions to apply sooner, but typically with a green card, you got to wait 5 years and then you apply for citizenship. All right, and then once you become a citizen, then you can petition for your parents, okay? And so you got to wait and apply to become a U.S. citizen first, and then once you're a citizen, you can petition for your parents if you're a citizen and over 21, okay? So, Paul, I hope that answered your question. Thank you so much for asking it. We'd love to help you through that, through the citizenship process, and certainly also to petition for your parents. All right, so let me tell you a story. All right, let me tell you a story. And if you got questions on the way, you know, send them in. We'd love to answer those. So here's something that happened like recently, right? I had a potential client who came to a consult with our firm, all excited because he had just turned 21, and now finally he gets to petition to bring his mom back to the U.S. All right. But as I do the consultation, where they're meeting, it was clear that the mom left the U.S. during the pandemic, all right, during COVID-19 in 2020, all right, to visit family. And the mom hasn't returned to the U.S. And so the son's excited because now he's going to be able to bring his mom back to the U.S. All right, she wants to do it the right way. She left in 2020. During the pandemic to visit family, and now the client wants to bring his mom back. So client, like, congratulations, you can petition for your mom, but, oh man, she's not going to be eligible to use that petition until 2030 because she left in 2020, and she's got a 10-year bar, everybody. Like, I wish it wasn't the case. But she won't be coming back to the United States. She's inadmissible for 10 years. And so the son who's in my office, he starts to cry. I start to cry. Right? Well, lawyer, isn't there a waiver? Well, yeah, there's waivers, all right? There's waivers of the 10-year bar if she had a husband or a parent who's a U.S. citizen or a green card holder and who would suffer extreme hardship without her. But she doesn't have that. And so, yes, you know, you can file for your parents, absolutely. But we've got to start that case in like seven and a half years from now. And then we'll be 100% ready for her to reenter the U.S. come 2030 once she's finally eligible to use that petition. Got it? So, like, what's the takeaway? What's the takeaway of all that? First, like, don't leave the U.S. without talking to an immigration lawyer. You want to understand the consequences. It's not easy to come back. All right? And then the second, I said it before already, right? Each case, each situation has a different consequence. It has to be carefully analyzed. There's not one answer. If the question is, can I petition my parents to come back to the U.S., the real answer is, it depends. It depends. We've got to look at it. We've got to understand the situation of your parent fully. And then we've got to, you know, decide what's the best way to proceed. What's the best strategy to proceed with the case? Some cases are winnable. Some cases are not. Some cases are easy. Some cases are not. And my best advice for everybody listening to me right now is to please get good advice. Please get good advice. That's what my firm is here for. All right? And if we can help you with at least that, man, give us a call. Give us a call. We'd love to do that. Okay? I see I got a couple of other questions here. Dwayne, thank you for your question. Your question is, how long for citizenship after you file your case? Well, that's a great question. I actually will have to look it up. Let's see. USCIS current processing times. It depends on the filing office, all right? So when I look up N-400 citizenship on the internet, I got to look up the San Francisco field office, which is where I am. Let's just look at it, and Dwayne will answer your question. All right, processing times right now, San Francisco field office says 14 and a half to 19 months. All right, Dwayne, that's the answer, 14 and a half to 19 months. Well, hey, why does it take so long? You're right. You know, before it used to take, you know, 4 to 8 months to get a citizenship case. That's how long it took when I first got started as an immigration attorney. And then the Trump administration happened and things got slower. And then the pandemic happened and things really got slower because there's just backlogs everywhere. But anyway, Dwayne, thank you for asking the question. 14 and a half to 19 months in San Francisco. The way to know for sure is to go to Google, type in USCIS processing times. In the drop-down menu, click your field office and click the form N-400, and you'll know how long they're taking at your field office. Okay? Awesome. My next question is from Algebra. Algebra, thank you for your question. Your question is, can someone file for their spouse to get work authorization who has a pending U visa as their only option to get immigration benefits? Okay. All right. Awesome. And so, Algebra, thank you for that question. The answer there is maybe, all right? If a person is applying for a U visa, all right, they, when they do it properly, they will include a work permit application. The I-765 is the form with their U visa. When they do that, then they'll be putting themselves in line for a process that they're now calling the bona fide determination process to see if they can get a work permit. Okay, now the question is, can you file for your spouse? Well, when you apply for a U visa, you can apply for a spouse as a derivative on your U visa, and you can apply for a work permit for a derivative spouse also. And so the correct answer is yes, all right? The correct answer is yes, but you know, you want to make sure that each of the pieces of the process were done properly, just so that you make sure it gets approved, okay? So, and it does take time, right? This whole new bona fide determination process for U visas, it's a new process that started happening just a couple months ago, and so it's taking a little while to to kind of implement, but it's good to get it on file. All right. The last comment I see here is from Mr. Tusk. Mr. Tusk, you say good evening. Hey, good evening. Right back at you. Good afternoon here. So thank you so much for being with me. All right. So everybody, it's 2:28. I'll wrap up there for now. That's all the time we've got for today. I'll be doing this again in Spanish, so come back to this if you want to join us in Spanish. If I haven't answered your question yet, hey, send it to me anyway. I still will. I love getting your questions because it gives me a good idea for what content is needed out there, right? And so send me your questions. I'd love to do a video about it. If this was useful, please subscribe to our channel here in YouTube. Click the notification bell, all right? And we'll get you additional legal updates and news as we have them. And if you have an immigration case, hey, please give us a call, all right? We are here to help, okay? So that's it. That's all I got. Thank you so much for being here with me. I'm Otis Landerholm, founding attorney here at Landerholm Immigration APC, where we fight for your American dream. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Immigrant Podcast. If you like what you heard and if you want to learn more, please go to LanderholmImmigration.com/podcast.